too. I'll continue. So we set up the feedback system. We got it stabilized. Bill told me to stand still. And he started to move through the field in a very knowing way. His moves were like that of one who has been practicing something that you don't know, but you know that they've been practicing it. It is like watching two people who are dancers. You can watch one without knowing anything about it, and you'll see this person make some definite moves in sequence. Then you'll see another person that is not practiced, and their movements seem to incorporate hesitation, that one movement does not flow into another. But Bill was not the unpracticed. He had done this many, many times before. And what we did was to start to play around with this acoustic, electromagnetic, human energy field. The next thing that happened was that Bill had been instructed to start to show me other things. I alluded to this fact just previous to this statement, and now you'll hear Bill's words on that. Bill gave me some, and he showed me how he could pick up various things on his body, but that wasn't quite what he was getting to. The next thing you will hear is that he started off the demonstration by moving his body through the field. Again and again, though, demonstrated during the experimentation periods, Bill would be very, very rational, or put it another way, a little bit easier for us to understand. His discontinuities had decreased quite substantially. And again, the predominance of variations and experimentations with this feedback field were astounding. The next experiment, we have a brief excerpt coming up, will show how we could change the field in such a way to actually pull in a radio station. Now, again, this is a very, very interesting aspect of what we were dealing with. Bill, of course, would lead in all of the various experiments. We tried various pickups of the body, and then using some flattened spirals put up against the temples, we tried to affect the field in that way by standing still. He was a lot more successful than I was. And then we tried some other experiments, again bringing in this FM station. While involved with the experiment, you started to develop a stronger picture of this invisible field and fields that were about you.
I'm sure he's been here. things keep changing. The Earth is 4 degrees off its axis. You know, a lot of things are changing throughout the world, as you know.
Yeah, you might have a hard time finding that way to do it or something. I don't know.
That evening we continued to play. The next step, we went over to the TV. I didn't record that. And we were watching some of the things changing on the TV. There were some interesting tonal changes. There was video changes. And we saw various focusings of energy. And we would Bill would constantly run back and forth to prove that that it wasn't anything being broadcast. All the TV stations in the area had been shut down. This area of videocom, was Dr. Mueller's probably highest aspiration in his work to get a communications system in full operation. Again, in this system, also Viticom, as well as Spiritcom, the transceiver feedback device was very instrumental, and not just very instrumental, it was the key item for pickup in this whole system. We played around extensively with the signal following that, and I was able to tune in radio stations, and we played around with the capacitance within our system, the ability to hold a field. And this seemed to be a very important practice, this part of our system. So there were some other disclosures that came through the evening. One of the things was that Dr. Mueller wanted Bill to put up along the upper corner between the ceiling and the wall one thin wire all the way around the entire perimeter. This was done in order to compensate for other metal and metallic objects in the vicinity. Another thing that was most important, that if a direct microphone link was to be used with the tones, it was imperative that the microphone be isolated from the system by either putting it on a nice thick piece of foam rubber to remove it from the metallic vibrations and other influences from the metal. Also in this particular night we experimented with the Radio Shack microphone, and it proved not to be anywhere as near as sensitive as the transceiver feedback device. We also did some experiments with the 10 miles of coiled wire, and it's ability to give us any information that we could correlate to our activities was most difficult. Bill sized it up very quickly and told me it was a biofeedback device. And it, of course, did not show us any useful information when comparing it to the system that Bill and Dr. Mueller were working on. So, at this point, I want to come up with a brief insert to keep us on the right direction here. First thing is that the experimentations provided us with evidence that could not be denied. It gave us a great number of clues to what it was and what it is that Bill is doing. But complementing this experimentation are a list of questions which provide us basically with a interesting direction as to what was really going on. Question number one, why did Bill show the energy field loop system to me first? And basically, all the time? A simple question, a simple answer. That's where Mark IV had evolved to. Question number two, why was an additional input jack incorporated into the transceiver feedback device? First thing to note down that is that while I was at Bill's place, he stated to me many times that it was a joint effort between he and Dr. Mueller in constructing this device. Two, Dr. Mueller wanted Bill to be able to monitor the laboratory without Bill's presence. This way he could experiment with the energy field and at the same time stay in contact with Bill and continue on with a direct link, a voice link. The third part here in this answer is the fact that under this configuration of the system, the tones were being transmitted into the energy field loop. Which brings us to the conclusion here that this input jack by no means was any little bell and whistle just added into the box. It was a definite part of the system, and it was meant to transmit the tones. And I have a direct feeling on that too, is that it was meant to transmit the tones whether Bill was there in the lab or not. Question number three, why was Bill stating that he was only showing me some of the system over and over and over again? It's my feeling in answering this question that Dr. Mueller had requested of Bill to make sure that he was very careful as to who he disclosed this information to. And I think that Bill, after hearing that, started to interleave this with his own discontinuities in a lot of ways, and decided not to tell anybody. So we see Bill tenaciously holding on to this information and maintaining a great deal of secrecy. Yet, while we're in the laboratory, and while Dr. Mueller and other spirit friends were present, we find Bill returning back into a rational state and feeding me information and answering questions, not to any great length, but there he was answering questions. So I believe from that that there was a direct influence by Dr. Mueller and his associates to disclose to me more about this system. Question number four, why did Dr. Mueller keep saying, "your friend"? In answer to question number four, I believe I've struck upon a new insight. With Bill's great discord, with his feeling of total vulnerability by anybody on the outside world, that would include me, you, George Meek, and many, many other people. When Bill would speak of my friend, he did not really mean it. And Dr. Mueller was trying to get Bill to examine himself. if you'll remember, that I felt that Bill, in fact, I felt last night, too, at our meeting, that, and it was a channeling to me in some ways, that Bill, all Bill has to do is to start to question himself, and then he'll be on a road to recovery. He must examine himself. And Dr. Mueller was trying to get Bill to do that. Why? Because then he would be able to have an individual whose mind was in a more calm and continuous and rational state. And for the small amount of time that Dr. Mueller had, he would be able to advance the Mark IV system so much further. And so it is my belief now when I look at it that that remark, which seems to sound like a sarcastic remark against George, is not. It is a remark with for Bill to examine himself. We also can add to this that on tape number 10, Dr. Mueller, and that's our number 10 on our videotape, discloses that he doesn't have much time and he could go any time. We also had a lot of feedback from other inputs telling us that Dr. Mueller was going to move up to a higher vibration. So all of these things would have a great deal of motivation. Also, we know that Dr. Mueller was very patient with Bill and that his ideas and his concepts had to be brought to Bill in a very patient, slow, arduous way, repeated over and over again. I'm sure this was a good lesson for patience for Dr. Mueller. And sure enough, Dr. Mueller has disappeared to a degree. And Bill still is in a pretty rough state. And I also, you can see that if Dr. Mueller could have turned Bill around by trying to put a key word so Bill would start to look at and get some perspective, the Mark IV system would have evolved to a more fruitful state. Question number 5. Why was Bill so positive about the new electronic device providing a link for separated loved ones? I think we both can answer that one quite easily, but also Bill was starting to see the importance, the import of this device, and also within his own heart having such a great desire to link up with his mother and other loved ones in his family. I also get the feeling that Dr. Mueller was nurturing this motivation to keep Bill in a more rational state towards accelerating this project. Question number 6. Why did Bill practice various maneuvers, both physical and mental, with the energy field loop system? It appears very, very obvious on this particular instance again, too, that it was important to become familiar with this system. Dr. Mueller wanted him to play around with this as much as possible so that he, Dr. Mueller, could choreograph Bill to move through the field and to know where to place himself depending on other outside variables. Remember, one of the interesting things is there were a lot of variables involved which prevented communication or even gave poor communication. So here, if we could control the field by our own physical and or mental thinking and thought, we could keep the field in a predominant structure that would assist the spirit communication. This was proven to be the case when we tuned in radio stations with our bodies, demonstrating that the field could be changed to pull in a what might appear to be non-existing channel. So I feel that it is of great importance, number one, to note down that, once again, this system is what I have stated, and I'll continue to give you some more questions here to even give some more credibility to my conclusions. Question number 7. Why were tones being generated by the acoustic electromagnetic energy field loop? I believe that the tones were being generated by Dr. Mueller and his associates for their experimentations. The why, I believe, cannot be answered because we don't quite have that understanding at this point. Question number 8. Why did Bill admit that the tones were being generated by the transceiver feedback system? Again, this simply is another enhancement of a previous statement. Recall that I said that while Bill was in the laboratory, we witnessed his greatest sense of reality. We saw a more rational, continuous, happy person. And the importance of this system to be shared by those who were worthy of finding out more information were present. That particular worthy person at that time was me. This also goes right in line with you, George, in that remember that while you were there at the laboratory, Dr. Mueller came through momentarily, not for a very long time, again indicating that the comment by Dr. Mueller, your friend, was not directed to you. Also recall our seances, in that in all of those, everything that Bill has said and what was assumed on the tape is totally contradictory. I think we've come across something here, and that Dr. Mueller definitely wants to work with us, and it has only been Bill that has been the stumbling block and not Dr. Mueller. And I think everybody else has misconstrued that comment, your friend. Question number 9. Why was the TFD, i.e. the transceiver feedback device, an integral part of Viticom? Now we start to see a bigger picture. We start to see that Dr. Mueller had made the TFD system the key part for the entire communications system. This was and is the new discovery. And I would like to thank at this time Dr. Mueller, if he's listening in, for his absolutely great and brilliant work. And we thank you, Dr. Mueller. Question number 10. Why would it be necessary to add a single loop of thin wire to the top corner perimeter of the room housing the TFD system? A little info note before the answer. This loop is not attached to anything. It does not in any way directly, it is not any way directly connected to the system. The single loop of wire was there to, is to be put into the room, and it wasn't put in Bill's room at that time, to be put into the room to compensate for other metallic disturbances. Now you George might recall some of the answers that we had during some of our sessions with Sarah, and the fact that we had wire and other disturbances. Dr. Mueller felt by putting this wire up in the top corner that it was easier to control the metal, forming a, let's say, conductor to keep the metal disturbances uniform. Even if my answer is not exactly right, I think you will see that it is definitely leading towards the idea that Dr. Mueller had behind this. At this point, I think we can get a very clear picture as to the evolution of the Mark IV, and we can see now that what we thought about last week has now been corrected, and we now have a new insight to what it is that our system has become. I'm not going to ask any more of these, so to speak, questions at this time. I want to give a little report on the Viticom experiment. The Viticom experiment was conducted following the Thursday evening, and there was no recordings made of this session. Very briefly, we went upstairs, set up the system. The TFD system was balanced and set up, and we then put an antenna on the TV, and we were able to witness some very interesting changes to the video signal after 2 o'clock in the morning, because that's when most of the stations went off. Bill, of course, would be continuously showing me that there was no other broadcast going on, always trying to prove to me, for some reason, that the system really worked. This persistence in his trying to prove to me something didn't really make much sense to me at all. And for the most part, he was maybe trying to prove it to himself. We could even reflect back to the point where we remember and recall our chapter on materialization from Pelley. And you have to think of what it is that you're dealing with as being accomplished. Maybe this new system of Dr. Mueller's had not been fully accepted by Bill, yet he had been through it so many times and it had worked. Here it was. He had been with his old system for a long time. He had developed a new friend. He was talking regularly with Dr. Mueller. This was exciting. It, in contrast to his environment, it was an incredibly joyous occasion for him just to speak to Dr. Mueller. And now Dr. Mueller has evolved. He is going to a higher vibration. Dr. Mueller knows this. He has anticipated this. He now starts to channel and to direct Bill to start building the new system. And while that is going on, Dr. Mueller's visits become less and less frequent. So it could be that there had been a few ounces of doubt in Bill, and maybe that's why he had to go around trying to prove, not to me, but to himself, that this system was a reality. Also, he may have not have understood the full concept of this, that Dr. Mueller had taken up into this, had built into this system its ability to handle a lot more of the variables. Once again, being able to change the field alone with your presence would allow the field to accept a channel to the spirit world that would not normally, on, let's say, this particular night, not be open. But by changing, moving your field, both mentally and physically, this could be brought in. And the point is, once again, that Dr. Mueller has presented to us and has helped develop with Bill a system to take into account more of the variables that prevent communication. Bill's awareness of the overall system might have been somewhat muddled, or that he may not have been quite sure what it was. And again, this was another reason, in addition to many others, why he kept it secret. What a terrible position to be in, not to be able to explain something that you are directly involved in building. The last part of this report provides us with another clue, and once again, enhances the evidence as I have presented it to you. From my standpoint, the system is as I've described. The last day, basically, that I was there, and I didn't know it was the last day, was, of course, the morning when Mary Alice showed up. The previous night, I had left the laboratory about 3:30. And I really was pretty grungy, and I didn't feel it should have been too that important for me, or to be, with respect to Bill, for me to go to a hotel for one night just so I could take a shower. When I was leaving, he was saying to me, "Oh, you're taking this, you're taking that," and I decided just to take my change of clothes and leave everything else behind, including my briefcase, which did not have anything in it which would disturb Bill in any way, because I had removed all of the various things that you had listed out of my briefcase, so there'd be no written evidence. So if he wanted to look through it, it'd be okay with me. I showed up the next morning, and the first thing that Bill told me was that he had stayed up another 3 hours trying to make the Viticom system work the way it had before. Bill was not successful. He could not get it to work. So here we have maybe the straw at this moment with respect to Bill's great disappointment. Dr. Mueller, I guess from where he was standing, was not there anymore, or for some reason had gone away. He didn't know why. So right there in front of Mary Alice, of course, Bill disclosed his new situation. He was now going to wash his hands of working on this system. He felt, he was stating, I don't know what he was feeling, but I don't know if it's necessarily what he was talking about, but he stated that he had washed his hands and that he was not going to work anymore on the Viticom and Spiritcom. The reason I hesitate about whether or not he's expressing his feelings is because that evening, following the Ponderosa dinner, he wanted to go out and get a drink. Anyway, that was the time I had talked to you, George, on the phone. And I had decided that night to conduct one more experiment. And it revealed to me just one more clue as to my conclusions about this system. Bill was downstairs, apparently asleep. I went upstairs and started to play around. I used the tone generator first, made a recording, and it is to be noted that the modulation levels for the 200 tones, the output level was not sufficient, according to Dr. Mueller's formula. So then I used Bill's tape. This time I hooked up the system the way I thought it should be hooked. I had the tones playing into the system acoustically this time, and I didn't have a chance to run the hookup through its modulation input. Remember, the TFD device has a microphone, which would be the acoustic hookup, and it has a jack, which would be the modulation input. So the system was hooked up with an acoustic, tones were acoustically coupled into the TFD device, being transmitted back to the receiver, and the speaker outputs would feed back once again into the mic, and we had the loop established. Here's a brief excerpt of my session at the Adrian Lab Friday night. To use his TFD devices, and I had rigged up the Radio Shack microphone. It served the purpose as just to some of the feedback environment. The Radio Shack devices, which you might call flat and slow, it does not give you a sharp, crisp, fast pickup as the device that Bill and Dr. Mueller had devised. I hope to very soon be able to establish several of those devices right here in our laboratories in Franklin. this work and what I was doing woke Bill up. And I heard him wake up downstairs. He started pacing around, drinking coffee, coughing. And obviously, I had accomplished what I wanted. He definitely felt that I was getting too close, even with my silly setup, because I didn't have his TFD devices. And he paced continuously back and forth downstairs. But he couldn't go against his previous statement of that morning that, that he had dissolved his relationship with Spiricom and Viticom. This wasn't, of course, something that he could so quickly turn around. That would really make everything look very foolish. But two other things occurred. He made a statement to me about the fact that he would be continuing to listen for Dr. Mueller on his portable system. And Of course, this is in contradiction to his statement about calling it quits. When I came downstairs, Bill, of course, was up pacing about, drinking coffee, etc. And he was making himself some food. I had closed down the system upstairs. I had come downstairs and got myself ready for bed. Upon waking Saturday morning, I found Bill had gotten very testy. And once again, my feeling was that I was getting too close to what it was that he was really working with. We had talked about the fact that I could stay there a couple of nights and work on, but he was now pushing me out the door. And that's why I left on Saturday. A couple of final notes here is that the TFD devices were put together by using some Radio Shack parts, specifically an Archer walkie-talkie system. This he told me about on the first night when I showed him the neatly packaged Radio Shack microphone. He felt very threatened that all of this work was being undermined by the electronics industry. His device is definitely has a faster response, and it is more acute, and gives you a sharper feedback. But you will notice on my tape, for demonstration purposes, that with the tone generator going, we also got other tone enhancements. I did feel a presence in that evening. It was very strong. And when I listened to the tape just now, today, January 21st, 1982, I heard some interesting interruptions on the tape. This was not possible for me to hear while I was up in the laboratory, so it did look like Dr. Mueller or his associates were in some way fooling around with the system. I didn't have the system which they had developed, though, of course, on the air. So, in conclusion, I know we should go full force and get ourselves up to speed here and try to develop with as much assistance as we can the new Mark IV-B system with the TFD device, loop antenna, and we've got the rest of it right here. I also feel that the dancing and choreography necessary to work in the field should be practiced very regularly once I get something established. We have to become familiar with this as much as possible. And that's an easy thing for me to pass on while we're doing this. Overall, this trip, in my opinion, was very successful, and I want to thank God for all the cooperation that I had in gathering information and in helping us bring our system to fruition. Yeah, I propose that we purchase some Archer walkie-talkies which contain the FM 10-5 board, and I have a little discourse on that on the small tape, which can be an addendum to the main technical report. I'll just say that things really look good, and we have to get ourselves going here.
Well, I'm sure glad you're here, sir. My gosh, how long has it been, sir?
And so on tape number 10, Bill continued to struggle and had an awful hard time trying to remember all the things that Dr. Mueller had told him.